European settlers to Wisconsin saw wetlands as wasted space to be drained. But 63 years ago, Wisconsin's DNR preserved an intact wetland in Ozaukee County by designating it the second Wisconsin State Natural Area. Nancy Camden walked a trail with a member of the Friends of the Cedarburg Bog.
This is Highway 33. We're about halfway between West Bend and Saukville. My name is Kate Redmond, and I am an environmental educator. I have been a volunteer for close to three decades now. I lead a lot of field trips trying to introduce people to this wetland. We're getting farther from the highway now, and we've gotten into an area where the trail is packed down gravel and dirt, and there are wetlands on each side. It's a fantastic place to come and take pictures in the spring as things start to green up. Watts Lake is at the end of this trail. The name says Cedarburg Bog, but you don't need any special foot gear to get in here. And it's not a bog, and it's not in Cedarburg. The bog part is appropriate because there are some bog plants common to a bog and a fen, which is what we really are, is a fen. A true bog doesn't have any outlets. And in a fen, there is water flow through the system. This particular fen does not have very many nutrients. So it's a challenge growing in the middle of the bog, and some of the plants like pitcher plants and sundews and the blueberries are adapted to accept that challenge. We're standing in front of a disc of roots that was exposed when the tree tipped over, and that's the really amazing story about this place. Everything that happens in here, all the tree growth and the plant growth, happens in the first foot of soil, and the soil is a real mucky, peaty kind of soil. It's very organic and it smells fantastic. All the trees that are in here have these interlocking roots that go out, and they all kind of keep each other standing. The DNR owns 1,733 acres in the bog, and UWM owns 230 acres. It's also a national natural landmark. It was the second state natural area that was declared in 1952. Its management plan includes hunting and fishing, although most smart hunters stay within 100 yards of the edges because once you're any farther in than that, the going is pretty tricky, and there's a lot of poison sumac growing on hummocks, so you don't want to grab hold of any piece of vegetation that you see. Along this trail, there's not a lot of poison sumac. Wetlands have values as far as floodwater control and water purification, as well as being good places for wildfowl and other wildlife. We had a pretty credible wolf sighting here a few years ago, and I was out in the middle of the string bog one time and heard a bobcat on the other side of one of the strings from me, which was really exciting. And we have a lot of coyotes. There are certain times of the year when they're more vocal than other times. This is a dynamite place for dragonflies, and I've seen some species of dragonflies here that I have not seen in other places. Hard to leave.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more online at wisconsinlife.org.
Joining us now to tell us more about the Cedarburg Bog is Jim Reinerts, director of the UW-Milwaukee Field Station. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for being interested in the bog.
Yeah, well, tell us some more about what makes the Cedarburg Bog a unique ecological specimen.
I guess one of the main things is just its relatively pristine condition. No one ever really figured out how to drain the Cedarburg Bog or alter it much, and I think a lot of that is because of its size and setting in the landscape. If you picture a lake that's 3.5 miles from north to south and 3/4 mile to 2 miles across, and then picture that lake all filled in with muck and peat, except for 6 much smaller lakes. And then picture that lake with 7 or 8 different islands that stick up out of the lake, and you've got a pretty good picture of the Cedarburg Bog.
We've had a sea change, or a swamp change, if you will, in the way we think of wetlands, haven't we? It used to be something that was that needed to be drained so that we can do something productive with it. That's not the way we think about them anymore, is it?
No, well, sometimes we still do, I'm afraid. But not a wetland like this that's such a jewel in terms of the biodiversity that it supports. There are so many plant and animal species that depend on wetlands like the Cedarburg Bog, and the Cedarburg Bog probably would have been drained for muck farming had that been possible, but it wasn't.
Well, let's talk about the tamarack tree. I understand this is a key element of this kind of wetland and part of what defines it. Tell us more about the tree and the role it plays in this ecosystem.
Well, there are a couple main trees, both of which are, if someone's trying to picture the Cedarburg Bog, they should picture the wetlands they've seen in low areas in northern Wisconsin, because two of the main trees are conifers. The tamarack, which is our only deciduous conifer, it loses its leaves, loses its needles in the fall.
Huh.
And then we have white cedar, which is another real common northern conifer, and essentially the Cedarburg Bog is like a little piece of northern wetland way down here in the southeastern part of the state. So there's somewhere around 330 species of plants, not counting mosses and lichens and things like that, in the Cedarburg Bog, and 10% of them, 33 of them, are at or very near the southern edge of their range in the Cedarburg Bog.
Talking to Jim Reinerts, director of the UW-Milwaukee Field Station, taking a visit to the Cedarburg Bog. Now, Jim, I understand it's not, this is getting to a fine point from here, it's not a bog, it's technically a fen. Is that right? And if so, what's the difference?
Well, there, because it's so big, and there's one outlet stream down at the southwest corner, and groundwater leaks in on the north and the west side. That water flows down through the wetland, and because of its size and the islands and the complexity of that water flow, there's 12 or 13 different, distinctly different wetland plant communities that grow in the Cedarburg Bog. So most of the major wetland plant communities that occur in the state of Wisconsin can be found in the bog. There is one really relatively small area that you would call a bog, an open bog. And the difference is a bog, at least in this part of the state, really would receive no input of water other than direct rainfall. As soon as groundwater comes in and has an influence, it keeps the pH of the wetland neutral or even alkaline and prevents real bog conditions from developing. But there's one little lobe of the Cedarburg Bog that has black spruce, which is an indicator of kind of bog conditions, and a little area with sphagnum hummocks with leather leaf and bog rosemary and pitcher plants and all those really cool northern plants.
So I've been thinking of this as an ecosystem. It sounds like it's a group of ecosystems all clustered together.
It would certainly a whole group of plant communities, mm-hmm. Yes. It's one big wetland system. Hydrologically, it's one big complicated wetland with water flowing through it and draining out one corner. But in terms of the plant communities, you can be in different parts of the bog, and there's very little similarity from one place to another.
I feel like I can sort of picture what this would look like in the summer. I haven't been there myself, but what does it look like now, late January? What's going on in the Cedarburg Bog?
Well, now's the time of year that it's easy to walk in the bog. And in fact, at this coming Sunday, the field station and our friends group, the Friends of Cedarburg Bog, are having a big winter hike where we hike all the way up through the truly wilderness areas of the bog and into some remote lakes. And if anyone listening would be interested in that, I can either Google Friends of the Cedarburg Bog or go to bogfriends.org and you can register for that event, which is really, it's really fun. It's a big, long hike.
go ahead.
So anyway, winter is the time that it's easy to get around because the bog's frozen. And it's much easier to see. Most of the bog vegetation is pretty thick. You don't get big long vistas unless you're on one of the lakes or in a cattail marsh kind of community. But in the winter, with good solid footing, it's just so much easier to get around. In the summer, it's rough going.
Sounds like, yeah.
Up to your knees in muck.
And plus the poison sumac.
Poison sumac, but you can get poison sumac in the winter, too.
Okay.
In fact, it's pretty virulent in the winter.
Oh, tell us, as we start to wrap up, about the condition of the bog. Are there things you're concerned about as far as conservation and preservation of this unique ecosystem?
And the biggest threat to the Cedarburg bog is, not surprisingly, an invasive species, and it's a glossy buckthorn. It's a big shrub that grows in the bog, and right now the Friends of Cedarburg Bog have a pretty major grant where we have crews out in the bog working to control glossy buckthorn in at least part of the bog. I would say that's the major threat. Other worries, I guess, would be any disruption of the groundwater, the water flow. I think road salt may eventually be an issue for the Cedarburg bog. So there are threats from being located in southeastern Wisconsin.
As I understand it, the Wisconsin Bird Conservations Initiative named this an important bird area. What kind of birds count on the bogs, either as a home or as a migration stop?
It's amazing. They're doing the big Wisconsin bird atlas inventory right now. And if you look at the atlas the last time it was done and look at the distribution of breeding birds in Wisconsin, you will repeatedly see these marks right where the Cedarburg bog is, because there's so many species that breed there. And I mentioned the northern plants that grow in the Cedarburg bog. Well, there's a whole list of northern birds that don't breed any further south than the bog, including brown creeper, winter wren, Canada warbler, Nashville warbler, white-throated sparrow. There's a whole list of birds you won't find any further south than this.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being interested.
That's Jim Reinerts. He's the director of the UW-Milwaukee Field Station. We've been talking about the Cedarburg Bog.